Don't you know we come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Third. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Third. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Third helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast, episode 219, titled The Papacy and the Empire in Direct Confrontation, Part 1. As some of you know, I have been preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God every day, and oftentimes multiple times a day for over 5 years. So God has blessed me and given me the liberty to take a break, which my body needs. And I am still somewhat on that break. As you know, I've been away from the mic in this podcast, even though I've been doing some other ones for a while, and it's good to be back. And I thank God for you, for we have been on a wonderful long journey. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ, December the 19th, 1979, some 41 years ago, I somehow had the false idea that Christianity began when I got saved. Even though I had been in church all of my life, I did not know anything about Christian history. I had no concept of the hundreds of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago. And believe it or not, because the church does not teach church history as it should, I have found that many believers, young and old, have the same false idea. And this is a tragedy, because I believe many saints, many disciples of Christ have gotten discouraged and stopped serving as they should have because they didn't understand Christian history. And they got confused and mixed up and bitter about all of the different denominations and so forth. But if they understood Christian history and how all of that came to pass, they will be able to handle that better. Anyway, the purpose of this podcast is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry in the time of Jesus Christ, our Lord, all the way up until the present day, in an easy-to-understand format and way. You don't have to worry. This is not a lecture. This is a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that every believer and every person needs to be aware. Beloved, our scripture passage for today is Romans 15:4, which reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience, may I emphasize to you patience, that we, through patience and comfort of these scriptures, might have hope. Our History of Christianity quote for today is from Dr. Philip Schaff. He said, "The history of the church is the rise and progress of the kingdom of heaven upon earth. For the glory of God and the salvation of the world." Today in the history of Christianity, we are looking at the papacy and the empire in direct confrontation, part one, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, volume one. If you don't have the set, I would encourage you to get it. Gregory's reforming zeal soon clashed with the interests of Emperor Henry IV. As a young boy, Henry had been under the care of one of the reforming popes, and therefore Gregory believed that he, of all rulers, should support the program of reformation. But Henry felt that the power of bishops and other prelates was such that for the political survival of the empire, the emperor must be free to appoint those who would support him. The conflict finally broke out when, in response to riots in Milan, provoked by Paterine extremists, who sought to enforce clerical celibacy, Henry deposed the bishop and appointed another in his place. Gregory responded by ordering Henry to appear at Rome by a certain date and declaring that if he failed to do so, he would be deposed and his soul condemned to hell. On Christmas Eve, 1075, 2 months before the deadline set by Gregory, a military contingent attacked the Pope while he was celebrating Mass. While he was celebrating Mass, they beat him and took him prisoner. In response, the Roman populace rose up, besieged, and then took the tower where Gregory was being held. The man who had led the attack against the Pope had to flee and was able to save his life only because Gregory ordered those who were pursuing him to spare him on condition that he go on pilgrimage to Rome. The emperor, who had recently had significant success and was therefore at the height of his power, responded to Gregory's ultimatum by calling a council that gathered a few days before the deadline set by the Pope and declared that Gregory was deposed on grounds of tyranny, adultery, and the practice of magic. Then, in the council's name, Henry sent notification of these decisions to Hildebrand, not a pope, but a false monk, a Judas in the camp. Gregory gathered a synod of his supporters who advised stern measures against the emperor. On the next day, precisely the date for which he had summoned Henry to Rome, Gregory issued his sentence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, by the power and authority of Saint Peter, and for the defense and honor of the Church, I place King Henry under interdict, forbidding him to rule in any of the kingdoms of Germany or Italy. I also free from their oaths any who have sworn or would swear loyalty to him, and I forbid that he be obeyed as king. At first, Henry was resolved to continue in the course he had set, but his support began eroding. Many who had other reasons to disobey him now had the Pope's sentence as an excuse. The more superstitious began spreading the word that to be near him was to call a curse on one's self. This was given credence when one of his staunchest supporters died unexpectedly. Finally, Henry felt that his only recourse was to appeal to Gregory's mercy. This he would do as privately as possible, and thus set out to meet Gregory in Italy. Gregory was not sure whether the emperor was coming in peace, or rather intended to use violence. His suspicions increased when many in northern Italy received Henry as a hero and rallied to him. But Henry did not wish to gamble his throne on the uncertain outcome of battle, and therefore refused to organize his supporters into an army. The two finally met at Canossa, where the Pope had taken residence because the city was well fortified. Henry had hoped for a private interview where he would make his obeisance before Gregory, but the latter insisted on public penance, and Henry had to beg entrance into Canossa as a penitent for 3 days before he was admitted to Gregory's presence. Finally, since it was impossible for one who claimed to be the leader of Christ's disciples to do otherwise, Gregory granted the pardon that Henry begged and withdrew his sentence against the emperor. Henry then returned hastily to Germany, where his enemies, encouraged by his difficulties with Gregory, had rebelled. Although Gregory had withdrawn his sentence against Henry, he did nothing to discourage the rebels who elected their own emperor. The Pope's ambiguous posture encouraged the civil war, and it soon became clear that Henry would overcome his foes. But Gregory did not trust him, and therefore decided to cast his lot with the usurper. Once again, he excommunicated Henry, whose imminent death he also foretold. But this time, the emperor's followers did not heed the Pope's sentence, and a rival pope who took the name of Clement III was elected. Finally, the usurping emperor was killed in battle, and Henry was left as sole master of the empire. Next time, beloved, by the grace of God, we will continue looking at the papacy and the empire in direct confrontation. Holy Father God, we pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you and we thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to get back together in this important debate regarding prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray that lost souls will be saved, Christians will be revived, your holy name glorified. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know Him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly His story. God bless you.